Well, praise God. Another opportunity to study the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says in Joshua 1:8 that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night to observe to do all that is contained. Then you shall have good success and prosper. So praise God, we have another opportunity to put the Word of God into our hearts and into our mouths. When we keep God's Word in our mouth, we shall have good success and prosper. And I know that we all want good success and prosper. But the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, and that you receive from God through faith. Therefore, if you desire to prosper, be in health, and have good success, you must know what faith is. It's like nowadays they have these cars, these new cars. I don't have one. Where you don't need a key to get in, right? You just punch in the combination lock. Actually, they've been around for a long, long time. Siri had one so many years ago, I won't tell you because she'd be embarrassed because I mentioned her age. But what good is it if you have this wonderful car if you don't know how to punch in the combination lock to open the door? You can't use it. It's the same thing. You have all these blessings that Jesus Christ paid for, and they belong to you. But you need to know how to open the door. You need to know how to open the door. And the key that opens the door to all of God's blessings in your life is faith. Faith is how you got saved in the first place. You're saved by grace through faith. So you start this walk towards God by faith, and we're going to continue it by faith. It's through faith we'll move to that place where the blessings of God chase us down and overtake us, where sickness and disease have no part of us, and where we can have all our needs met and walk in victory. What faith is. Mark 9:23 summarizes very well the attitude towards faith. If you can believe, all things are possible to you. All things are possible to you if you can believe. That means if you can believe in faith. But to believe in faith means you must believe in your heart with faith and have actions that match your faith. Let's start by looking at the dictionary definition of faith. Webster's dictionary's definition. Belief and trust in and loyalty to God. That's an awesome definition from Webster. Belief and trust in and loyalty to God. That's faith. Another definition, belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion. Belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion. Third definition, something that is believed with a strong conviction. Now, the one that's most important is the first one. Belief and trust in and loyalty to God. If you believe in and trust God, you believe and trust God's word. If you believe and trust God's word, you let nothing come between you and God's word. As someone once said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's a good synopsis of what faith is. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That means no matter what people say, no matter how many books are written about it, no matter what my family says, no matter what my friends say, I still believe the Word of God. In fact, no matter what my body says, no matter what my checking account says, I still believe the Word of God. The Amplified Bible, in 1 Timothy 1:19, and also in Hebrews 6:12, has a definition that's really wonderful, which I'll summarize here. It says, it's the leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence. Faith is the leaning of your entire personality in God in absolute trust and confidence. Absolute trust and confidence. What does that mean? I'll give you an example. Many, many years ago, before some of you here were born, God had me go up to the Warrika Mountains of Jamaica. At that point in time, the Warrika Mountains was considered like the most dangerous part of the Caribbean. And just to wander across the street that borders the mountain, people would shoot you. One story is one man lived on the opposite side of the street, wanted to buy something at a store, a shop, which is maybe half a mile or a quarter mile down his side, but right across from where he lived is another shop. So he walked across the street to the beginning of the Warrika Hills, and as his foot touched the sidewalk, somebody shot him. He staggered back out in the street where he was hit by a car. He's lying in the middle of the street, shot by a gun, hit by a car. And the guy walks out from the sidewalk, stands over him in the middle of the street, and shoots him 2 more times. Kills him. That's where God said to me, I want you to go. Now, to do that takes a lot of faith. A few months, about 6 months before I went, a man from that country, who looked like he belonged in that country, went up in the hills, pastor, and because he was a pastor, they did not kill him. But they did tie him up and beat him and then send him back out. That's where God said for me to go. Now, when he said for me to go, he said, go, and when you go, take nothing with you except your Bible. Take no money, take no weapons, nothing but your Bible. You know, in the Bible, when they sent out the apostles, they said they can take a stick with them. I didn't even get to take a stick with me. Of course, they had the Bible, and they didn't. So I go up there without money and without anything but the Bible. And it says, I want you to be there for 3 months. And everything you want, I want you to use your faith to get it. I want you to teach people how to live by faith. And that's exactly what I did. I got into there without being killed because of faith. Met a man, had a nasty wound on his wrist. And I said, I believe that hurts a lot. He said, yes. Was injured in a knife fight. Never healed properly. And always hurts. I said, let me show you the power of the God I serve. He said, give me your hand. Stretched it out. I put my hand across it. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Took my hand away. And he was healed. And he got me into the hills without being beat up. Because he was one of the leaders from up there. So I went up there. We needed a site, a location for a tent, which I didn't have. We prayed, we got a location. We prayed, we got a tent. We needed a generator for electricity. We prayed, we got it. We needed chairs. We prayed, we got it. We needed Bibles. We prayed, we got them. In fact, the Bibles was kind of neat. The Bibles were kind of neat because we've been up there now for, 2 weeks or so. And by this time, I led a bunch of people to the Lord. We all prayed together asking for Bibles. And so every day they come by and says, Pastor, where are the Bibles? You know, we believe we got Bibles. Where are they? I said, they're coming, they're coming. And one day this lady coming up the hill, you know, and she comes up and says, okay, who's doing this? Who's doing this? I said, what are you talking about, lady? She said, who is up here praying about Bibles? I said, we are. She said, that's it. God has been after me every night, waking me up every night to come down here and give you Bibles. Even though she was at the area supervisor of a large denominational church, Pentecostal church. And so she had thousands of Bibles. And she gave us thousands of Bibles. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? But my point is, the leaning of the entire human personality. I went up there, I was leaning for protection. I was leaning so I wouldn't be afraid. I was leaning for food. For every single thing we needed. We needed, at one point in time, we needed a vehicle. So we prayed for a vehicle. You know how we got a vehicle? There is a famous artist. This was a long time ago, you know, so computers were kind of new. He had a computer, because he was very wealthy, but it wouldn't work. Somebody told him I knew something about computers, so I was introduced to him. He says, can you fix it? I said, sure, I can fix it. Because I knew I got God, right? So to make a long story very short, after a couple of go-arounds, they're all watching me trying to fix this thing because their local people couldn't fix it. And so I just felt led to open it up. I opened it up, and there were these little memory chips. In these days, you could count them. Not like today. There were like maybe 200 of these little chips like this in an array. You know, like maybe 20 by 10, 200 chips. Each chip has like 4 little prongs, and you stick it into the board. Very simply in those days. And I'm looking at this, and everybody's watching me. And I pray, and I just reach out. And I grab a chip right in the middle and pulled it out. And one of the 4 legs was bent. I just straightened it, pushed it back in, and everything worked perfectly. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
God is so good. The guy said, what do you need? I said, fun you should ask. I need a van. He gave me, I think that seats like 10, 12 people, for 3 months free. Isn't that awesome? Talk about leaning with your entire personality. Amen. Praise God. Now, the King James Bible has the definition of faith. If everything you want comes from God, comes through faith. If you got saved through faith, if you're going to heaven because of faith, we need to know the definition of faith. And every person who's hearing this should make a determination in their heart. I'm going to memorize the definition of faith. Hey, you know the definition of your name. You know your name. You know your friend's name. Many of you know your doctor's name and address. You might even have your doctor's in your speed dial. You might have emergency in your speed dial or the fire department. Let's put faith on a speed dial. Let's memorize faith. So the definition of faith is in Hebrews 11 verse 1. That's really easy to memorize. It's just 1:1:1. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1. And in the King James it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Well, that sounds good. What does it mean? Well, let's go back to the dictionary. Webster's definition of substance. Substance is the essential nature. One definition of substance is the essential nature, the essence. Faith is the essence, the essential substance, essential nature of what you're hoping for. Another definition. It's the ultimate reality that underlies all outward changes and manifestations. This is really a great definition. Substance is the ultimate reality that underlies all outward changes and manifestations. Your faith is the ultimate reality that will change everything in your life. What an awesome definition. Your faith is the ultimate reality. You live in the reality of Jesus Christ. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. You can choose to live in a world that belongs to the kingdom of God, living by the laws and the rules and the principles of the kingdom of God, and not living by the rules of this world. Because the spiritual laws will override the physical laws. There are different levels of reality. At the lowest level of reality are the laws of men. The laws of men vary depending on who's president, who's on the Supreme Court. The laws of men you can break at all times. No, there's a penalty if they catch you. But you can break them at a time. Above the lowest level of the laws of men comes the physical laws of the world around us. Physical laws don't change. A change in a physical law is called a miracle. Physical laws don't change. The law of lift for a plane. Plane goes fast enough, it has wings, they're going to go up. Electricity. You hook up the electricity to the bulb, you pull the switch, the light comes on. You break the circuit, light goes off. It doesn't change. Chemistry. All the physical laws don't change. You can pass a law. It says, in this city, between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m., anybody who falls off a roof will not be hurt. You could pass a law and say that. But you know what? The physical reality of gravity wouldn't pay the slightest bit of attention to your law. Somebody will fall off a roof and they'll be hurt. So, we have the laws of men, we have the physical laws, then come the spiritual laws. What do the spiritual laws say? Well, the spiritual laws are the laws of God. They're the spiritual laws that created the others. The spiritual law supersedes the physical laws. So, for example, when Pastor Matthew's father, who was in his 80, when he was 80, he fell off the roof, all the way down, flat on his back, on concrete. Now, the physical law of medicine said, you should have a big problem. And so, they checked him out and said, oh yeah, you got this broken and that broken and this broken. And so we all prayed. And one by one, everything that was broken, the doctor came back and said, we made a mistake. You know, it's not three broken ribs or two, it's one broken rib. Then came back and said, there are no broken ribs. Oh, your back is broken. Oh, the back is not broken. They kept finding out they were making a lot of mistakes. You know, they're calling them mistakes. What was happening is the spiritual laws of prayer and the power in the name of Jesus was changing the physical laws. Right? So the spiritual laws are the laws that God used to create the world. They're laws in the name of Jesus, laws of life. And those spiritual laws are contained in the Bible. And those spiritual laws will change the physical laws. Now, what causes those spiritual laws to work is your faith. Your faith is the ultimate reality that's going to change all the circumstances around you. Pastor Matthew's change in his father, the change in his father, was caused by Pastor Matthew's faith. His faith was the ultimate reality which changes all the laws of medicine and physics to make his father totally healthy, healed, and whole. At 80, I mean, I'm not 18. I don't want to fall off a roof at all. How about you? Third definition from the dictionary. Substance is the physical material from which something is made. It's the material from which something is made. Well, yeah, of course that makes sense. Why? Because everything that we know, everything we see, came from something we didn't see. The things we didn't see created the things we do see. That's the way God made the world. So the substance of your faith will create that which you desire. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Here's a fig tree minding its own business, but it wasn't doing its business properly. It wasn't producing fruit when it's supposed to. And Jesus used a spiritual law and cursed it, just as you and I can do with cancer. In that example, Jesus taught us how to deal with living things that are acting abnormally and improperly, such as cancer. So in Jesus' name, you curse the cancer. He cursed the fig tree, and the thing, the spiritual law, the spiritual power of his words created something. It created a dead fig tree. So the spiritual power of your faith will change things and create what you need. You can speak into existence that which you need when you know how to do it based on what the Bible is saying. Now, we are made in the image and likeness of our Father God, and God is a God of faith. So whether or not we believe in faith, understand it, or know about it, we live by faith. The question is not, are you going to live by faith? The question is, in whom are you going to put your faith? There's natural faith where you put your faith in natural things. For example, how many of you, when you came in tonight and sat on the chair, checked the four legs to make sure it wasn't going to break? You had faith to believe that we provided chairs that wouldn't break. True. You ever driven across those humongous bridges between two mountains? And you're looking down there and there's a little river way down there. You can hardly see the river. Did you ever stop to think the guy who designed it might have gotten a D, the bridge design? He might have. Here's the ultimate faith for us, for most of us. You work for a company. You work for a whole week, 2 weeks, a month. And every day you come to work, when do I get paid? Oh, it's a whole month away. You got to work for a whole month before they pay you anything. Isn't that true? We do it all the time. And guess what happens sometimes? Sometimes at the end of the month, they're bankrupt. They can't pay you. Not us, of course, because we're children of the Most High God. And we work for God and we always get paid. But a lot of churches have a lot of people who haven't gotten paid. Isn't that true? No, spiritual faith. Spiritual faith is when you accept God, Jesus, and the Word of God. You put your faith in that. Not in a man, not in a bank. How many people put their money in the bank and lost their money? How many people put their money in General Motors? Two and a half years ago, went back east to visit my wife's friend. She's got friends all over. So we're in Massachusetts, and we're visiting. And the man there is a brilliant engineer. He designs and builds these machines that package things. You know, if you look in television, for example, you see all these cans whizzing by and bottles and things, and arms are coming out and doing all kinds of things with it. That's the kind of stuff he designs and builds. And so they were very nice to us. And while we're there, his wife got healed. Tremendous miracle, which we use in the healing school to teach a particular way of getting healing. And so near the end of the visit, I just felt led to say, you know, the Lord has blessed us with a lot of knowledge about things to come. And so I want to tell you that they were Christians. I want to tell you that you probably should take your money out of the stock market and put it someplace else. And he says, oh, no. I said, well, the stock market is going to go down dramatically. He said, yeah, but I don't really care. He said, all my money are in good solid stocks. I said, let me tell you, you really should take your money to the stock market. Told him like 3 times. Finally said to me the 3rd time, listen, man, don't worry about me, I'm okay. I got my money into companies like General Motors, Citibank. So today we can laugh about it. But then he was absolutely serious. He lost a fortune. He lost almost all his money. It wasn't because God didn't tell him. It was because he wasn't listening. I'm really sorry for him. He's a very nice man. He can always make it back because he's a brilliant engineer. But he lost a lot of money. So, examples of spiritual faith. If you accept Jesus as Savior, you go to heaven. If you're here and you're born again, you believe you're going to heaven. How many people here have been to heaven? I don't think too many. No, some of you may have been, okay? Some people do go to heaven and come back, but Most people don't get that opportunity until they go there for the last time. But we believe we're going to go to heaven. Do you know how much faith you've got? Let me tell you, you got so much faith. You got enough faith to believe that a man lived 2,000 years ago and you never saw him. You never even saw his picture. You never saw him on television. But you believe he lived 2,000 years ago. You believe that because this man lived 2,000 years ago, he told everybody, I am from God. God is my Father. And you believe that when he died, God raised him from the dead. You believe this man came back out of the grave. And that he went to heaven. And it's because this man who lived 2,000 years ago came out of the grave and went to heaven. He died for your sins. And because he died for your sins and paid for your sins, you're going to go to heaven, which you've never seen. You've never seen God. You've never seen heaven. You've never seen Jesus. And you believe all that. If you can believe all that, you can believe anything. Think about it. What can you not believe if you can believe that? So we all got this tremendous faith. And where did we get it? The Bible says God gave you the measure of faith. God gave it to you. And you used it when you got saved. Now what we want to teach you over the next few weeks is how to use that faith in different areas, which are a lot easier and simpler to believe than all of what I just said about going to heaven. First step in it. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now if you're going to memorize another scripture, this is one I would say you should memorize. This is the scripture why you're all here tonight. This is the scripture why I believe the Bible. When I got saved, I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. That was it. I didn't believe anybody, least of all, people who knew what they were doing in the world. Because I listened to them. I went to UCLA for 10 years. Just about 10 years. At the end of which, I was heading straight for hell. So when I came to the point where people prayed me in and I got saved, I said, I'm not going to believe anybody about anything ever again except Jesus Christ. And then Jesus taught me the Bible is true. And he used the scripture. What an awesome scripture. This is like a blank check from whom? Who's the richest man in the country today? Warren Buffett? Is it Buffett? Or Gates? Well, this is like a blank check from Buffett and Gates. Yeah. Buffett and Gates have set up a blank check for you, put all the money in there, and say you can write anything you want. And you know what? Mark 11:24 is even greater than that. Okay? Imagine that. If the two richest men in the United States could say to you, here is a checkbook. Write a check for any amount you want, and we've covered. That's not greater than this. This says, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Only God could ever dare make a statement like that. I mean, you understand what it says? Whatever you desire, anything you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you have them. Shortly after I got saved, God used the scripture to teach me the Bible. The Bible was the Word of God. You know, we have listened to a man named Brother Yun from China. And when he got saved, it was illegal, punishable by going to prison, to own a Bible in China. But he wanted a Bible. So he, being a great man of God, started off as his first thing, I want a Bible. He prayed and fasted for 6 weeks for a Bible. Fasted for 6 weeks. He had a little bowl of rice per day, that's all, for 6 weeks. And when he prayed, he didn't lay back in his bed like I do and pray. He got a big hard rock and put it on his floor, and he kneeled on this hard rock to pray. That's the first Hard Rock Cafe. Okay? And he kneeled on this hard rock and prayed for 6 weeks, at the end of which, miraculously, a man in the middle of the night brought him a Bible and gave him a Bible. No, I didn't do anything anywhere comparable to that. What I did was very simple. I said, God, I'm going to take 30 days off of my work and my life, and I'm going to test the Bible. I flipped through it, the whole Bible, and what jumped out of me? Mark 11:24. And I said, I'm going to use it for 30 days to solve every problem I come against. And if it fails one time in 30 days, I will not believe the Bible is your word. So I did it for 30 days. At the end of 30 days, I said, God, this is your word. From now on, I'll live by it. And since then, I have risked my life based on what the Bible said over and over and over and over and over again. This is the word of God. It says, whatever you desire, when you pray, present tense, believe that you receive in the present tense and you'll see it in the future. Don't wait until you see it with your eyes before you believe. That's not faith. Jesus says, blessed is he who believes and has not seen. When you pray, you believe you receive. You believe it's done when you pray, and then it will show up where you can see it with your eyes and touch it. That's the essence of faith. That is, in fact, the prayer of faith. Coming back from Las Vegas shortly after I got saved, God had sent me there to do some ministry. And coming back on the outskirts of Las Vegas, I picked up a man who obviously had lost all his money and was hitchhiking back home. You know, I'd never pick up a hitchhiker unless I was confident that God wanted me to. Picked him up, we're driving back home. I'm trying to minister. He's got a hangover. He's lost all his money. He doesn't want to talk. And the last thing he wants to talk about is God. People in Las Vegas, for some reason, don't really want to talk about God too much. So we're driving home, and after a while, I gave up talking to him. And we're driving up. We're in the middle of the desert, and a desert rainstorm came down. He had this backpack, which he put in the back of his truck, which had no top. So he and I are inside the cab covered, but all his belongings are in the back. And this flash flood came down. Not flash flood, a rainstorm. It was like a flash flood from heaven. I mean, it was like you turn the hose on full blast and put it over the vehicle, except there would be a lot of hoses. And so he started to get agitated. I said, oh, you're paying attention now. I said, you're worried about your stuff getting wet. He says, yes, I'm worried. I said, let me show you the power of God. I said, in the name of Jesus, rain, stop. And in the time it takes for the windshield wiper to go boop and boop, back and forth, once, the rain stopped. His mouth fell open and looked at me. I said, now you want to hear about Jesus Christ? Why? Because I believe I received when I prayed it. Okay? So, that's an example of spiritual faith. Finally, faith is the evidence. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I hope for the rain to stop, and when I prayed it, the substance of my faith changed it. Now, faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. Here is where a lot of people lose it. Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. Well, if you're seeing it, it ain't faith. If you're seeing it, it's reality, it's not faith. But so many people can't hook onto that. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You must be in a position where you're not seeing for faith to be operative. Now understand that when it says faith is the evidence of things not seen, it's not just your eyes. It's the perception of your five senses. Faith is the evidence of things which are not yet perceived by your five senses, which have not yet been revealed to you. That's what faith is. If you can hang on to your faith when you can't see it, then the faith will be the substance of bringing you what you hope for. It's like when you go to the store. Let's say you go to Sears to buy a refrigerator. And you walk up to buy the refrigerator. And you say, I want that one. The man says, okay, it's, what did it cost now? $900. Thank you. It's $900 for this refrigerator. And so you take your hard-earned money, you write a check, and you give it to him. He's got great faith in believing the check is going to be cashed. Okay, that's not sure faith. Then he gives you a little piece of paper. You give him $900 hard-earned cash, he gives you a little piece of paper. I don't want a piece of paper, I want a refrigerator. He says, yeah, but if you take this to the Lord and knock, they'll put it on your truck. And you're believing. This piece of paper is the evidence of things not yet seen, right? You're believing, when I walk away from this man, that he really does work for the store. And then take your hard-earned cash and disappear. And then when you go to the back, they do have a loading dock, and they actually have a refrigerator. And then you go there and you give this little piece of paper to the man, and then you see your fridge. Then you don't need the little piece of paper anymore. You don't need the receipt anymore because you got the refrigerator. It's the same thing with faith. Your faith is like the little piece of paper of that which you haven't seen. Your faith will be like Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you believe the Bible, then you should believe that. If you believe that, then that's your faith. That's your receipt for having your needs met. Now, just like when you got the receipt, you did not yet see the refrigerator. Just so when you get a glimpse of the scripture, you may not yet see the money in your checking account. But you believe that your faith is your proof. Though the faith is a proof, but you still can't write a check against your checking account if there's no money. Okay? That's illegal. That's not stepping in faith. That's illegal. You can't do something as an action of faith when you're breaking a law. When we're acting in faith, we have to be obedient to the laws of man, to the laws of the church, to the laws of your marriage, to the laws of your family. Because all authority comes from God. And that which produces the fruit of your faith in your life comes out of the authority that comes from God. That's a separate issue. But I just want you to understand that when you're acting in faith, everything you do must be legal and proper. Otherwise, you're sinning, and sinning will hinder the prayer coming to pass. Sin will start to destroy either way your faith. So your faith is the evidence of the things you're hoping for. Your faith in the Bible, you're saying, I believe this is the word of God. I believe it says all my needs have been met according to God's riches. And you keep believing that and you keep saying that and it will come to pass. It will come to pass. So evidence is something that offers proof. So the proof that you've been healed is not what your body is telling you. The proof that you've been healed is the Bible, where it says in 1 Peter 2:24, you have been healed by the stripes, by the wounds of Jesus. By the wounds of Jesus, you've been healed. That's your proof. You lift it up to the devil. You say, devil, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you keep believing that and keep saying that, even though you have not yet seen the manifestation of health in your body, because had you seen the manifestation of health in your body, you would not be walking in faith. Because faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. So you have not yet seen the manifestation of health in your body. So your faith is faith in the Bible. The Bible says I'm healed. You believe it, you say it, it will come to pass. So it is that which provides proof. The Amplified Bible has a great definition of it. It says faith is your title deed. You have a car, it's paid for, you got a pink slip. It's your title deed. The title deed is a pink slip for the car. The title deed for your house. Well, your title deed for every blessing of God is the promise of God in the Bible. It's your title deed. You hang on to that and the physical manifestation will come to you. Some other examples of natural faith. Ordering food at a fast food restaurant, especially when you're driving through. You drive through, you give the order, you get a bag, and you're 5 miles away, you open the bag, and you're hoping it's what you ordered. True? You're driving on the street, and a man with a police badge pulls you over. And you think, because he's got a badge, he's an officer, and has a right to do this. Sometimes it's not true, right? But we have faith in the badge. Imagine that, we have faith in a badge. We have faith to somebody who's working at a fast food place, and we never seen. Maybe we won't even like the person. And we have faith to trust them. We have faith to a doctor who cuts people open that you've never seen before in your life. Imagine, you're going to let somebody cut you open, and you get in there, and there's a team of 6 people, and 5 of them you've never seen, and the doctor you don't like. That's a lot of faith. Is that true? It's a lot of faith. And yet we have such a difficult time believing God who saved us, who created us, who's taking care of us. Take, for example, this television set. See, here's the TV set. Now, we have faith to believe that if I hit the button, I'm going to see a picture. Many of us don't understand how that happens. How does it happen that a picture shows up there? We have faith to believe if we hit the button, it comes up there. Because it's a receiver. We can't see the waves going into it, just like you can't see what happens when you apply your faith. But your faith is a receiver that tunes into the promises of God. Your faith is like the radio which tunes into a particular frequency. That's your faith. It tunes into the promise. You don't see how it works. You don't see all the waves that are coming in the TV. You don't know that this room is full of waves. And you have faith to believe it's not going to cause cancer. Which it won't to anybody here because we're children of the Most High God. But people are learning that not everybody is as blessed as we are. This is a great example of natural faith. You hit the button and it doesn't work. You hit the button a few times, it doesn't work. You call Time Warner and say, Time Warner, you blew it again. Come over here and fix the TV. It's the same thing with your faith. If you tune in with your faith and it's not working, somebody's doing something wrong and it ain't God. And it ain't the Bible. So you can call Time Warner, but why don't you call somebody and say, you know, you're my closest friend and I love you and I know you wouldn't say anything to hurt me, but right now I need for you to tell me, what am I doing wrong in my life? Now that takes a lot of faith. But you'd be amazed what you can learn. If you tune in to the promise of God with your faith, the spiritual laws will go into effect and bring you the manifestation. Eventually, it will come. Sometimes immediately, sometimes takes a while. My brother, Chester, had an artery rupture in his brain. And so, they say that 1 in 1,000 will get to the hospital alive, and 1 in 10,000 will live. But the 1 in 10,000 with that problem would be a vegetable. So that was the good news the doctor gave us. So what we did was we sat down by his bedside for 24 hours a day, for 5 days, with somebody next to his bed, as close to it as we could get, saying, Chester's brain has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24. We tuned our faith into the frequency of 1 Peter 2:24. We believed that it was done when we declared it, and we kept speaking over and over. Not that his brain was going to be healed, but his brain has been healed, because the Bible says past tense. So we kept saying, 24 hours a day, Chester's brain has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And in 5 days, the hospital said, this is a miracle. And he was eventually totally healed and restored. No vegetable. It's the power of God's word when you tune in with the right frequency. And we'll end with the same scripture I started with. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate it to do what it says. Then you shall be prosperous and have good success. So I trust that this teaching on what faith is would be a blessing to you. I pray in Jesus' name the words that were spoken tonight will take root in each heart, including my own, and bring forth much fruit. But as time goes on, God will bring more and more fruit out of this root in our heart, the root of faith. And if you want to put some action, some works with your faith of believing that this is going to bear fruit in your life, why don't you put the works, the action, of memorizing two scriptures on faith? And I'd recommend you memorize Mark 11:24 and then maybe Mark 9:23. They're both in here. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you bless this teaching of the word. I pray, Father, that you bring out of all the people who hear this teaching, mighty giants, men and women of faith, who will rely on your word, lean on your word with their entire personality. Let your word of faith be in their mouth and in their heart, that they may change their lives and change the lives of their family and their neighborhoods. Thank you, Father, for raising up giants of faith. For Jesus said, when I return, shall I find faith. In Jesus' name, amen.